Aniara presents The King of Sweden, a biography by Roger Lundgren. Chapter 1. Carl Gustaf is born. The war is finally over, the future looks bright, and Princess Sibylla is expecting her fifth child. It needs to be a son to secure the succession to the throne. All of Sweden holds its breath until little Princess Christina can utter those memorable words. Oh, finally, a prince. But soon the euphoria will transform into the darkest sorrow. In the spring of 1946, Sweden was in a state of anticipation. World War II was finally over, and the joy of living was slowly returning to Europe. Princess Sibylla, married to Crown Prince Gustav Adolf, was pregnant for the fifth time. She had previously given birth to four daughters, Margareta, Birgitta, Desiree, and Christina. Many were anxious. She needed to deliver a prince in order to secure the succession. Sibylla felt much better than during her four previous pregnancies, which prompted Prince Gustav Adolf to teasingly say to his wife, "That suggests you're expecting a son this time." In her memoirs, Princess Birgitta recalls a casual family conversation during this time of waiting. "What would you prefer to have?" father asked during these days of anticipation. "A little brother or another sister?" Quite clearly a leading question. "A brother," I answered, "of course. While I got along splendidly with all my three sisters, we rarely quarreled, and even when we did, it was never long before we made peace again. Having a little brother would undeniably be something entirely new. Naturally, we sisters discussed the matter thoroughly, and I knew they also wished for a little brother. The fact that a brother in this case would automatically mean a future king for Sweden was, of course, completely unimportant to us children at the time. After all, our great-grandfather was king, and our father would become one someday, so it wasn't particularly remarkable that our little brother would also take his place on the throne. It might sound strange, but we were simply used to it. In other families, someone in each generation is expected to become a car mechanic or take over the family business. In our family, there was always someone who was, and someone who would become king. That's just how it was. As the time of delivery approached in late April 1946, it was decided that Sibylla needed peace and quiet. Her physician and gynecologist, Professor John Olo, insisted that the princess should rest during the final period before the birth, and so it was arranged. The four young princesses and their nanny, Ingrid Nenne Björnberg, would therefore travel to Pensionat Siljansborg in Rättvik. But first, the princesses participated in Prince Gustav Adolf's 40th birthday celebration on the 22nd of April, and the very next day they departed for Dalarna. Siljansborg was a highly regarded holiday establishment, and it was common for wealthy Stockholm residents to go there to unwind or spend their convalescence after various illnesses. The first-rate establishment offered many different types of activities, and for the four princesses, the journey was a grand adventure. They went skiing and sledding, took excursions, and almost forgot about the excitement of getting a new younger sibling. On the morning of the 30th of April, Ingrid Björnberg received a telephone call from an exuberant Prince Gustav Adolf. Overjoyed, the prince announced that Sibylla had given birth to a little boy. Sweden had finally received its long-awaited hereditary prince. Prince Carl Gustaf Folke Hubertus was born on the 30th of April at 10:20 a.m. He weighed 3.5 kilos and was 50 centimeters long. He had large, bright blue eyes and dark, downy hair on his head. The little boy was healthy, and Princess Sibylla's fifth delivery in 12 years had been relatively straightforward. All of Sibylla's previous births had been great ordeals for her, but this time had proceeded more routinely. Professor John Ola.